Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
What would you do if your online store converted 36% more shoppers? You could take 36% more vacation.
Another pina colada?
Yes, please.
Open a new retail location with 36% more square feet.
Fantastic.
Hire 36% more help.
You're hired and you're hired.
Shopify has the world's best converting checkout, up to 36% better than other e-commerce platforms. What you do with those extra sales is up to you. Switch to Shopify today at shopify.com/setup and get a $1 trial, shopify.com/setup.
The Survivor Specialists are back, and today we are predicting episode number 12 of Survivor 49. I am joined by, Bryce is going to like this, the other half of Bryce and Wen Present, the other half, Wendell Holland. He's here, the winner of Survivor Ghost Island. He's jumping on to predict what's going on. Look, I hyped up Bryce so much on his podcast. I wanted to be like, we're completing the duo here, but I just feel like if Bryce hears that, that's just going to send him into a little bit of a tizzy. So that's what I wanted.
Yeah, he's Bryce is that guy, and I'm his little sidekick, and it's fine. I'm fine in that role. I'm cool with it.
Never the sidecast on this podcast, though, Wendell.
Never on this podcast.
Never on this podcast. No.
Hey, thank you, but I disagree. But I will say, Phil, Bryce really, really loves you, man. When I told him I was going on, like, he told me how much he loves you, and I've been a friend of yours for so long. So thanks for having me on.
Oh, I appreciate that. And I'm always happy to hear that Bryce really does love me. That always means a little bit extra when I see what Bryce is doing in this community right now. 600 episodes.
Wow. That's incredible. And what's crazy, Phil, when we were on our podcast, Survivor News, with me, Bryce, and Jack, out of nowhere, Bryce sprung that on us. He told us, like, I'm the kind of guy, I want to know this in advance so I could properly celebrate my boy. So now I'm like trying to scamper to get like some kind of imagery to just say, I'm so proud of you, you know?
Yeah. I feel that last year was our 10-year anniversary of the podcast starting. Will and I started it last December. We figured it out about 4 days before, and we were like, oh crap, this is our 10-year anniversary. So we didn't really do much of a celebration. We just kind of announced that it happened, and we posted a picture of what Will and I looked like at that time. And everybody said I had good genes because I look exactly the same, and Will looked like a child at the time. So here we are.
We gotta, Phil, you gotta celebrate these things, all right? Like, it's important, man. I listened to some other podcasts, and they've had like these special moments on the pod that I always remember. So, you know, celebrate the little victories.
I just gotta remember, man.
That's
the hardest part, right? I remember my birthday and my wife's birthday, and that's pretty much the extent of it.
That's important. I will say one more thing. Bryce and Wen celebrate our 10th season doing tours for 50. So that's going to be a big one for us also.
I cannot wait to see what you all do for 50, because whether the cast is beloved or not, based on who we're getting, I know people are going to be running around like crazy for all of those events. So, you know, the Survivor community's got to be negative when they can be. But I think once 50 happens, you guys are probably about to have maybe your best season ever. We'll see.
It surely will be. It will be. We try to grow every season, but we always know that the spring seasons are always better. Like, people come out in the spring, and for 50, it's just going to be awesome. So hopefully we get to see you somewhere or a couple places.
Hey, I'm supposed to be going out to LA. You guys wouldn't come to Florida, but I'm supposed to be moving back to LA. We'll see when that timing lines up, but I know I have a better chance in LA than I do in Florida. Let's be real, right?
For 50, you never know.
If you end up in Miami right after I leave Miami, I think I'm going to lose my mind. I think that's the last time I ever say, Bryson, when events are fun. They're the worst thing on earth. Never go. Don't bring your kids. Don't bring your family members. Just leave them at home.
Here's what I'll say. If we end up in Miami for 50, you have the right to punch me next time you see me. Not in my face, but anywhere, and not in the goodies, but anywhere else.
Yeah.
And then we'll be fair.
Yeah, I like how you have to say that now. I know you're wearing an Eagles hat, and it wasn't an Eagles player, but after what happened to Juwan Jennings at the end of that one football game, people are just taking low blows nowadays. It doesn't matter. But
yeah.
I can't ruin your HGTV career either, Wendell, so I wouldn't go for the face, you know?
It's already ugly enough. So, you know,
I'm sure that's what the fans are saying right now, for sure. We had Brandon Donlan on Thursday, and I think we talked for about 15 minutes about anything but Survivor 49 before we got into it. What are you thinking about Survivor 49? Let's give the 49ers something exciting here. What's your take so far?
My take is I am, and I messaged you before, and I always think about 50, and I'm like, I know who's on 50, and I know you've acknowledged that for a while on your pod. I think knowing who's on 50 has kind of skewed my enjoyment of the season when there's like a dicey tribal, and you're like, oh, I know such and such and such and such are still going to be here tomorrow. But other than that, I do think it wasn't the most exciting season, and I think it's starting to get better, and I'm starting to enjoy these. And we only have two episodes left. The last couple episodes were good, and I'm sure that the next two will be good, or so I hope.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think we have some good players left too. Like, you got Risen Savannah. You got Sophie, who I think she is a really good Survivor player. She came from her tribe. She's the last one standing, and she's just good at maneuvering. She's good at talking to these people, talking to those people. And, you know, I'll talk about it in my rankings, but we got some good players left. We got Steven, who I think there's a lot of eyes on him because he has the ability to win challenges. And you got this strong contingent that's like, we got to take this guy out when we can. They just got rid of Sophie S., who I was liking, and then they picked her off, and it's like, oh man, I was like, man, she could get it done if we're not thinking of anyone from 50. And I'm hoping that these two players on 50, I'm hoping, as much as I love them, I'm hoping neither of them win 49.
I feel that. And I think that that's what's been, I feel like everything you're saying has been how a lot of the fans have felt. I mean, we've openly stated who it is, so I know you're kind of skirting around it, but like we've said so many times on this podcast, it's Rizzo and it's Savannah. And so I think the worst part is everybody who does know that, it's exactly what you said. Every time they're one of the alternates, you assume they're going to survive. I think what's been fascinating, though, is now that we're past the Tiffany spot, and I use Tiffany as the example because Tiffany's the lowest placing one-timer on the show. Now that we're past the Tiffany spot, I feel like anything can happen. Last week, I felt like maybe Savannah's actually in trouble. But then I started thinking to myself, is it the right move to get rid of her at 7 here? And so even though Savannah didn't go, and I feel like that might, some people might say, oh, well, we know Savannah's not going to go home because she's on 50, whatever. And that might skew your enjoyment of it. I almost feel like even if I didn't know she was on 50, last week didn't feel like the right time for her. Because now I feel like Steven with his block of vote, Sophie Bellarity with her knowledge is power, Christina is in with them and they know that, right? And Sage needed to get her revenge. You have more power this week than you actually might have last week. You could have gotten rid of Savannah and you kind of make that war dog on Wentworth move where you get rid of the big person and then you're kind of your back's against the wall the rest of the game. Now, whoever makes the move here at six, you're going into five. There might be two of you who make the move. It's going to be hard to get rid of both of you.
Yes. I'm hoping Sophie makes a move.
She has.
And I know she has it in her. It's like we've been watching her maneuver and she's telling us all the right things. One of probably your critique and a lot of other critiques about Ghost Island was Laurel was telling the audience all the right things. She just didn't take the shot. Mm-hmm. So I hope Sophie takes the shot. Another thing that I will say is I'm watching last episode, Steven get this block of vote, come back. I thought it was cool that he said, I got something and didn't really announce what it was. But when you have a knowledge is power out there, now someone knows that you have something. Mm-hmm. Now, and when was the last knowledge is power that we had? It's been a while, right?
Since it was successful. I think since it was like part of the story, it's been since the early 40s, I think.
Yeah, so you're not assuming that a knowledge is power is floating out there. So Sophie has this knowledge is power. She knows where a couple things are. Steven has to play a block of vote before even going to tribal. So hypothetically, he plays it. It's out of his hands. Mm-hmm. They go to tribal. She thinks he has something. She asks him for it. He doesn't have it. So the knowledge is power doesn't work. So I'm thinking, and there's so many. I mean, she could steal Rizzo's idol. That would be great. Steal his idol. Y'all vote out Savannah. Like, do something crazy. Mm-hmm. But again, she's going to get, if she does something crazy, which I'm praying for, she's going to get a lot of spotlight. And we haven't seen her be some kind of challenge beast. She'll just have the idol if she steals it or something like that to get through. So we'll see.
Do you think there's any way she can win without stealing Rizzo's idol at this point?
If she's not, if Savannah's not out there with her at the end, I'm so like Savannah. And here's the other thing I'm thinking about. Savannah is playing this game. She's a shark and it's very fun to watch in a era where we haven't seen a lot of villains. She's like a villain that Survivor can embrace because Jeff doesn't like certain kind of villains, right? Mm-hmm. So I love watching her. If I see her sit at the end, I could see some of the jury really disliking her, and I could see some of the jury really riding for her. Mm-hmm. So Sophie could steal some votes, or if Steven gets there, Steven will get some votes. If Sage is there, Joanne will give her his vote for sure, and she would find a way to get there. So I think there's a world where Sophie does well at the end. I think the person I'm most scared about her sitting next to is Savannah.
Because what I'm thinking here is, and everybody always gives me a hard time because I watch the edit, I watch the confessional count, I watch all this stuff, right? But I mean, like, we are watching a TV show. That's what I always say. It's like, I'm watching what I'm watching. I'm not going to give a bunch of credit. Like Will Wall back in Millennials versus Gen X essentially decided who was going home for like 3 weeks in a row. But we all knew Will Wall wasn't going to win Millennials versus Gen X. He wasn't on the show. And so when I'm watching this, somebody had commented last week and said, how does Sophie win if she doesn't, like, how are you seeing Sophie winning this game with what she has done so far? And the answer was, I kind of don't. Because I feel like I'm looking at her potential and what her story is. So if she sits at the end and makes the move I think she'll make, she's going to win. I am, though, kind of this belief that if she goes through this episode and doesn't use knowledge as power to take Rizzo's idol, I don't know what her move is in the post-merge, because I feel like everything in the post-merge so far has been Rizzo and Savannah. And I don't know what her move would be.
So you're looking at the story and you're saying, all right, we've been watching these two, like there's been a spotlight on them and they've gotten all the confessionals to where it should be one of them. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying, when I watch Rizzo, I love watching Rizzo. Mm-hmm. I think he is a really good Survivor player. And I think he's a great TV person because he's giving you every single emotion in one episode. He was walking around like the Godfather when he was talking to Steven. Then all of a sudden he's crying in confessional. Then all of a sudden he's stumbling. He's trying to get, you know, like he's all over the place. So he's a great TV character. I love him. When it comes to, like, I don't think his idol play was anything. I mean, him holding it, yeah, it takes a lot of balls. I don't think him playing the fake idol did any, what did that do?
Well, and it's funny because we're a little bit older than Rizzo, right? Rizzo felt like his explanation was, I thought it was funny and I did it kind of because, like, it felt like the most Gen Z thing I've ever heard in my life. The explanation made no sense.
And, well, first he said he wanted to do it to bait Christina. But if you play an idol, Jeff's going to say it's fake. That's not baiting her.
Yeah.
But also, and then, yeah, he was like, yeah, it was just cool, whatever. So I'm like, what did that really do, my man? So now I'm thinking, damn, Rizzo, you've been holding an idol, acting like you're playing it, attached to Savannah. Y'all got Sophie. You have a tight trio, but I'm not seeing anything that's making you win this game. Mm-hmm. So now I'm looking at him like Xander holding his idol throughout the whole 41 or 40?
Yeah, 41, yeah.
So then I'm like, all right, Savannah, this is the shark that we've been watching. This is the new Parv, whatever you want to call, like, she is the person that's delivering in the confessionals and making moves and intimidating people. And so it's like, all right, Sophie, you pick her off or something. You were the one maneuvering, and granted, you don't have all the confessionals, but, like, Sophie might be one of the most popular characters this season, mm-hmm. if you ask me. I could be wrong.
I feel like it's Steven and Sophie. I feel like it's hard because my parents don't know Rizzo and Savannah are on the show, right? Like, they're so casual, they don't know. My wife does know Rizzo and Savannah are on the show because she lives with me, so she hears me talk about this stuff all the time. They both have kind of similar feelings on Savannah and Rizzo of, I like them, but I don't love them, right? But then when I say, so who are you rooting for? My parents love Steven.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and I feel like the casuals at this point are loving Steven. And so when I look at Steven, Sophie, Rizzo, Savannah, I feel like so much of the Survivor internet fan base just wants to hate on Rizzo and Savannah because they took the spot on 50. Let's knock them down a peg. They don't deserve it. Could have had anybody else, you know, especially with some of the names that were in the mix. We didn't need 12 New Era. These are all things I said too, right? But I do feel like there's a little bit of a leaning into hating every single thing they do. Like, we don't want to listen to Rizzo say this. We don't want to see Savannah do this. There's this hate that's kind of going on there. But then when you talk to the casuals, they're also still not, I don't feel like the majority of them are pulling for Rizzo and Savannah. I don't have a lot of casuals to base this off of, but I don't feel like they're pulling for Rizzo and Savannah. I do think it's Sophie and Steven at this point.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think that's definitely the case for me. And it's not because I'm a casual, it's because I know who's on 50. And I'm like, man, I do. I met them both. I like them both. But man, I met them both well before their seasons. But I'm like, you know what? I'm rooting for these other people because I don't want it to be predictable. And I'll tell you what, Survivor has, for this season, Survivor has, like, built up someone that I'd be like, I'd start rooting for him. And then all of a sudden they pick him off. So, like, I saw Sophie S and I'm like, yo, she's getting some momentum. She's going to be our hope to take out this trio. And then they picked her off. So now I'm like, okay, we got Steven. Steven's going to be our hope. Sage is going to help him out or something. Christina's going to help him. They're going to figure it out. I'm so scared that as soon as Steven doesn't win something, a lot of is like doesn't win a challenge, all eyes are going to be on him. The last thing I'll say is this, Phil, or it's not the last thing. Another thing I'll say
not.
Is, I just know sometimes I just talk too much. I think because I think Survivor, like, this is a game for strategists and for people like. And so for Survivor to take one of their 49 winners and put them on 50, I'm like, no, no, no. They're messing with all of us. This is Survivor. This is a this is Survivor. It can't happen. Mm-hmm. So then I start thinking, man, it's going to be good because I'm going to see some shot taken. So that's my other thought about the 49 and 50. It's like in my head, I'm like, one of these jokers wins. But then I think, and I'm like, no, no, this is Survivor. They know what they're doing. They knew the cast was going to leak. They're going to do something different.
Well, and let's talk about that real quick. How many Survivor winners have played back-to-back seasons?
Oh.
Zero.
Wow.
Never.
Wow. Good call. I didn't even
Never. Think of that. And guess what, though? Okay, so Rupert, you could throw him out because Rupert was obviously just larger than life. That's a long time ago. But Stephanie and Bobby John, Amanda came back and played again. She didn't win, but she made it to Final Tribal, right? She played back-to-back. Russell, same situation. Wow. You go to 39. I mean, poor Tommy Sheehan will never get the call again. And you look at what happened with Game Changers. Adam Klein didn't get that call, but Michaela and Zeke did.
Yeah.
So it's and Second Chance, you couldn't. They're not going to use it for any of the captain type seasons. They've never had a winner play back to back. And so why would all of a sudden that change for 50, especially when, no offense to D and Kyle, because I do like them both a lot. And I do think they are the best two winners of the new era. So no offense to them, but there's better winners from pre 40 that have only played once that I would have liked to have seen. So if you're now going to say Savannah or Rizzo are the winner and they were just so good, we had to bring them back. Well, like, call up Chris or Todd or Vesepia and tell me why you haven't given them another chance then instead, when this is who the survivor. I mean, I clamor for Chris more than anybody else, but Todd and Vesepia are names that people go, what the hell? Like, give them a shot. So I feel like it's not going to happen. And I feel like a lot of people, like, I know Daryl Seymour says here, dude, the top three have been leaked. I won't say here, but we know. I don't want to know those kinds of spoilers, right? No, like, no. The only thing I want to, like, if they're on 50, that was something I was going to find out. I don't want to know those kinds of spoilers. But here's also my thing. Who knows if those things are even correct at this point? Like, we don't know. And it's the same thing I deal with when we do this podcast all the time. You can very clearly tell when a season is spoiled. And I'm sure you feel this too. You can tell when it's spoiled and you can tell when it's not. Because when Gabler won, nobody could believe it. Everybody was extra pissed because they were wrong. Yeah. And this season, I feel like a lot of people think that they are right. And so it's exactly what happened with Joe last season. Last season wasn't spoiled. Everybody thought Joe or Eva was going to win it in a landslide. And then they didn't. And people hated 48 even more because they were wrong on top of it being kind of boring. And I think that's what's happening here. And so I don't know. I agree with you. I don't think Savannah or Rizzo are going to win. I don't see Rizzo's. And honestly, I think Savannah's pissed too many people off.
Yeah. I think that could be it. I think that could be it. I will say, Bryce and I, you know, we're in the community. We hang out with these people a lot. We meet them early. We meet them before the season. And we try to stay so unspoiled by, like, letting them know we're not trying to hear everything. Yeah. You know, and people talk, and it's just I just try to stay out of it but one thing we can't stop is seeing who's hanging with each other.
Yeah.
You know, and how, like, if all of them are at our event, see who's with each other. And as we watch the season, it's like, oh, I get it. Mm-hmm. Oh, this person was crying at the barbecue before with it's like, oh, I get it, you know. So but aside from that, and when Bryce and I pod, we'll turn off StreamYard and then we'll talk candidly about, like, hey, remember when we went to such and such party and we saw these two, but those three were over there, and you know, so
yeah, the big one for me was at your LA event. And I was hammered at your LA event. I mean, you know, that's why we're leaving South Florida, we're too far from Miami and I'm just bored. So I'm like, I can't wait to get back into, like, kind of that LA sphere again. And I was pretty hammered, and Thomas showed up, and I remember being like, oh my God, Thomas, I can't believe you got voted out. And it wasn't his boot episode. And he just kind of, like, looked at me, and it was like the third time I had met him, and I had told him that he was my winner pick and stuff. And he didn't say anything. He was like, oh, ha ha ha, whatever. And he, like, kind of walked away. And I was like, then the next week he got voted out. And I'm like, damn, I put that guy in the most awkward spot imaginable, because I thought based on his edit, he was about to cook through the entire season. So I thought I was trolling him and he was going to be fine. And instead it was like, man, if he slipped up, he could have easily just been like, yeah, dude. like, and I was like, oh shit. So anyway, I think it's funny. You're right though. You're right. Like, you do see who's around, and especially at these events, you see who already isn't getting along. I mean, I was dying laughing at the beginning of this season. I don't know. Did you see the post that Mitch put out? We had him on as our episode one predictions guy. So I got to talk to him, and he put out that post of, hey, Survivor 49 players, here's advice from Survivor 48 players. And Joe went on there and he was like, you know what? There's going to be some people on this show that you just don't like and you're never going to talk to again, and that's okay. And I was like, holy shit. Like, where was that? Like, I didn't really go to anything for 48 except for the one event, but I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. And it just tells you though, like, you're not going to be friends with everybody who's on your show. So when you do see it a little bit, you start to say, there might be something going on there.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, the other thing I wanted to say, Phil, we talked a little bit about our events. Bryce and I have two finales coming up in 2 weeks in LA and in New York City. And he told me to make a special discount code for any of your listeners. Ooh. So if anyone wants to go to LA or New York, there's a 20% off code. You can find it. You can find tickets in the Bryson Wen Present Instagram bio. Use the code Phil, P-H-I-L.
Ooh. No
caps, and you get 20% off. So I just wanted to put that
out. You say no caps?
No caps.
Okay. All right. Can I put that in the description of this video?
Huh?
Can I put that in the description of this video?
Yeah, please.
Okay, I just want to make sure. Yeah, I didn't know if it was people who had to be listening at this exact moment, you know?
No, it's anybody who your voice touches.
There you go. I love that it's Phil, too. You know, you're going to have to do – Bryce is going to have to do one in the future where the promo code is Blake, because that'll just make Blake the happiest person on the face of the earth. So, you know, you're going to have to tell Bryce that at some point. But I love that. Thank you so much. And there you go, everybody. If you're listening, I know we have some fans who just like are like those clingy type fans like this guy. So, you know, you can use that code RizGod5364 and you can get into the finale event for 20% off. My glorious king, Wendeezy Holland.
I love that dude. I've been editing a reel with him in it from the Sixers game. It's so good. I love that dude. When I first met him, he showed me a photo of him and I from like 5 years ago or something.
That's so funny. I love that. That was probably, God, that might have been around the time before Winners at War, right?
I think so. I think it was before that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rizzo just making his rounds. Anyway, where the hell? I don't even know where we got. I was talking about live events. You were talking about people hanging out with who, and then I'm talking about almost making Thomas spoil his boot without realizing it. And you know, here we are. But I think that with Savannah and Rizzo, if they were to win, the story is good, and I think this season gets better on a rewatch. Right? I think that this season really elevates on a rewatch when you already know what happens, because part of us already know a lot of what happens, or at least felt like we knew at least who was going to be the important players and stuff like that. I think though, I'm excited to see what the final story is. What's the final twist of the season? Because I am going into this episode, and I don't know if you feel the same way. I'm going into this episode with Steven has a block of vote. Steven, Sage, and Christina feel like they're still together. It feels like Sage played 1000% emotional last week and just wanted to make sure that she got revenge for Juwan, my winner pick, with this turtleneck. And that clip almost murdered me, with this turtleneck up around his mouth, like the Invisible Man. And so you got, she wanted revenge for Juwan. We have a block of vote over there. And then we have the other side that has the idol. It's Savannah, it's Rizzo, it's Sophie. They've played tight the entire time, but Sophie has the knowledge's power. It is definitely more beneficial for her game to steal the idol from Rizzo than to try to steal something from Steven. And if she takes a shot at Steven, like you said, she's going to hear, no, I don't have that advantage anymore. So this is a 3-2 vote pretty much no matter what. The only thing that can save the other side is a correct idol play, which I don't even know if that side's going to have an idol to play correctly.
Wow. You know, and yeah. So if Sophie doesn't make this move and jump and do something against these two, numerically they're going to be losing one unless there's a correct idol play.
Yeah.
I didn't even think that through. And so that is her only best. That's yeah. Wow. So we're going to see something happen this episode, whether it's Sophie making a move, whether it's one of these big people getting eliminated or them figuring things out. Yeah, this is going to be one of those ones.
So, because Daryl Seymour says it here, next episode is the last time both Soph and Steven can use their advantages. So they have to use them this week. So if you're Steven, you're playing the block of vote on Wednesday night. That is happening. Now, whether Steven, maybe Sage is a little more chaotic than I'm giving her credit for, and maybe she is going to go back to their side. Sage knows she can't win with Savannah. I think she knows that. I think she knows she can't win against that side right now. And Christina hates Savannah more than I've seen anybody hate somebody on Survivor in a long time. A strong dislike. And Jeff had to pause for a second and say, whoa, that's crazy. It's like, nah, we've heard worse. But, you know.
Did we hear that that was made up for theatrics?
Did we hear that?
Sophie, if I'm not on one of these pods or somewhere, I don't know if it was a Savannah Instagram Live or somewhere I heard that they knew that they were going to play that up. Oh. I could be wrong. Let us know if I'm wrong or if you heard that. But anyway, nonetheless, you're right. First of all, Sage, she's been gunning for Savannah. She's going to keep it up. And Christina, obviously, you know, she could have been, there could have been some truth in that joke if they were just joking or whatever. We know Christina wants her out too. So,
yeah.
And Steven is a smart player. All right. Yeah. That's a strong three. Yeah.
Yeah. Mona Monk Rona says Savannah said her and Christina planned it beforehand. Okay. So they did play. Okay. But even then, even if they planned it beforehand, the interactions that I've seen between Savannah and Christina are not two people who want to sit at the final three together. That I just don't see that. I just don't see that. And so if Steven has the numbers and he plays his block vote, he's in good shape. That block vote is getting played on Wednesday. I think knowledge is power is getting played on Wednesday. I think if Sophie Bellarity doesn't play the knowledge is power and elects to just go with Rizzo and Savannah and maybe tell one of them, hey, Savannah wins immunity. Rizzo, the votes are coming your way. Rizzo plays his idol. Sophie Bellarity doesn't do anything to change her station in the game. I don't think she can win. And I think she's too good of a player. And I think she's too smart about Survivor to sit on her hands in this moment. Doesn't mean that by her making this move on Wednesday night, she wins. But I think she knows she has to play the knowledge is power.
I think the question becomes, all right, you have to play it. If you play it against your own side, your path to the end becomes a little more difficult, even though you're just a few votes away from the end. And if you play it for your side, not knowing that Steven has a block vote, if you play it for your side trying to steal what he has, then it's like you're riding with these people to try to make your path easier. But with the properly played block vote, depending on, you know, whoever wins immunity, if Steven wins immunity and gets a block vote, one of those two are going home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because I guess, too, you know, when we do look at the 50 of it all, if Rizzo were to go out on Wednesday night with an idol like stolen from him by knowledge is power, I mean, that makes sense why he'd come back for 50 after he just held on to this idol for as long as he did and just like had the stones to do that and just sit through that. And now he gets knocked out by his own ally using knowledge is power against him. I mean, I get it.
Yeah. And like I said, he's a great TV Survivor character. He gives you everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So let's start ranking these players then, because honestly, this is a hard final six. I feel like last season you knew Mitch didn't really have a chance to win just based on what we had seen. I felt like the whole season Joe didn't really have a chance to win. I didn't feel like Eva had it either. I felt like it was between Kyle and Camilla going into the final six, right? I feel like Shaheen, I was so wishy-washy on whether I thought Shaheen could win or not. Going into this one, I feel like there's four people. I don't know how you feel about that, but I feel like there's four. You're already kind of you lean back. So I feel
I just started thinking because like when you kind of just did the math and said like if he uses his block of vote and excuse my cough, you made me a little bit more I'm just trying to think if I need to change my order of mm-hmm. sorry, my order, because when I really start thinking about he's gonna have to use the block of vote, that's gonna weaken their side. If they don't play things perfectly, win immunity and use the idol, or perfectly use the idol, then one of them should be going home.
Yeah.
So I just that's just gonna tweak my power rankings a little. That's all.
Yeah. And I will say, everybody, with Wendell coughing here, this is why I moved away from the Northeast. And even as I traverse this country back and forth, I don't go back to the Northeast, because the Northeast in December, January, and February is just, permanent sickness.
It's so bad. I'm sorry to the chat right now.
No, it's all good. I just want, you know, I feel that. I mean, when I used to live in New Jersey, I ran cross country in New Jersey, ran indoor track in New Jersey. We didn't practice indoors in December and January. And you get those days where it's like 25 and you get home and it just burns. Your chest is just on fire forever. I don't miss that. It was 86 degrees when I ran this morning. I almost passed out, but it was 86 degrees. Jesus. So,
well, yeah. It's cold. It's very cold up here. And you walk outside and with a cough like this, you try to breathe and you're dying. So
yeah,
that's why.
Don't worry, you got your support right here. So
thanks, Bryce. Thanks. Now, Phil, you were asking me, like you said, you see four people, or are you saying you see four people with a shot to like get this thing done?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I see 4.5.
4.5. So half of a person's gonna win.
Yeah. No, I see it because, like, I could see Steven, I could see Savannah, I could see Riz, I could see Sophie, and I could see half of Sage.
Half of Sage. So I think Sage, for me, knocked herself out last week, and so I would say she has a better chance to win than Christina. But I do feel like she played last week's too emotionally. And I feel like Savannah was the right move for Sage. I don't necessarily – Savannah wasn't the right move for Sophie Bellarity last week. I think if you're Steven, you go where the wind blows right now. You win immunity, so you have some power. But at the same time, if you have four people that are saying, no, we're going this way no matter what – if Sage is that committed, what can you really do? Make it a 6-1 vote and make people a little confused going into final six, because you, at the end of the day, know you have the block of vote. A lot of people are saying Steven should have done it last week, but if you don't have Sage with you, it's 3-3 if you play the block of vote, because Sage is going with the other side. So why use that at that time? So I feel like Sage played it just too emotional. Bryce says, Sage for the win for me. Revenge is best served hot, Phil. I don't necessarily disagree with the fact that revenge is best served hot. I'm good with that. I'm good with her coming out and saying, I want to play it this way. But I feel like it was so obviously the wrong move for what she needed to do at this point in the game. She can't beat Savannah at the end. She just can't do it. I don't see it. Jawan is her vote. I don't know who else does it. And she even said, people aren't taking my game seriously.
Yeah. I'm trying to look at this, who's left. You put Sage, Christina, and a third at the end, and I don't know if she beats any third, being Sophie or Steven or Savannah or Riz. So yeah, I think you're right. We got four.
And that's exactly how I feel. I feel like who is the third person? And that's kind of how I felt going into last season with Mitch and Shaheen at final six. I said, who do they beat automatically as the third? Like, it can't be, they don't beat Kyle, they don't beat Camilla. Do they beat Eva? I don't think so, because they played the whole game with Eva. Do they beat Joe? I don't think so, because they played the whole game with Joe. Now, maybe on retrospect, maybe Shaheen could have won. I know a lot of people said after the game that Mitch's edit kind of did him dirty and that he really did have a better chance. But again, I'm going based on what I'm watching.
Right.
I don't know how Sage wins in a final three based on the six people who are left in this game.
Sometimes I say, as viewers, I say, like, the cast is dealing with imperfect information and we're kind of the all-seeing eye. But then, like, we aren't the all-seeing eye and we have imperfect information because we're watching an edit. And, like, when your boots on the ground out there, sometimes you really feel like someone can beat you. Like, sometimes you really feel like someone is too personable, too social, or something like that. I kid you not. There were times when a few of us were on Ghost Island saying, man, we don't want to sit next to Sebastian at the end because everyone freaking loves this kid. And so in Mitch's case, of course, like, yeah, like Mitch is a lovable guy. And, you know, the edit, you know, just made him like, all right, Mitch ain't going to make his move. But I hear what you're saying.
I think, too, it's funny because that's what Dom always said. I remember when I met Dom right before the 36 finale, he said, I think that my mistake was what you're going to say. He's like, he didn't say it at that. He said it after, but he was like, you know, I'm curious to see what you'll think about the finale. And then I watched, cause I thought at that time he was going to win. I mean, you always gave me shit. You're like, you were the biggest Wendell hater. Cause you just,
I used to hate you, but
yeah. But so I remember then the night of the finale, Dom said to me, he goes, I think I lost it when I made a fool of Sebastian. He was like, I think that's when it took place because the jury kind of lost a little bit of respect for me there because everybody loved Sebastian. I remember Bradley, who, you know, Bradley's trying to come down here to get another friendship scorpion bowl so we can send pictures to Bryce again. But, you know, whenever I talk to Bradley, he's like, everybody loves Sebastian. Like, nobody didn't get along with Sebastian. And so, you know, you do have to take kind of those things into account, and the edit doesn't always show it. There's a lot of people in Survivor history who probably win if they get to the end, but they're not great TV, unfortunately. And that's what does it. Yeah. So, all right. Who do you have as the safest person then? Who are you confident is getting through this?
Okay. You know, and I put this person number one because I loved how they maneuvered. And I think that they were a good swing, but this is going to show whether they can win or not. I had Sophie as number one.
Okay. What would it take for Sophie to go home this week?
What if she does try something slick at Tribal and then Tribal becomes live? So hypothetically, say she does her knowledge is power. Say we have hypothetically, if Savannah wins immunity, Riz has his idol. If she tries to take Steven's block a vote and it doesn't work. If she tries to take Rizzo's idol, she can play her idol and be safe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if she tries to stick with them and take Steven's block of vote, he already used it, so she can't take it. Now she's exposed. Rizzo has his idol. Savannah's immune. And it becomes live, and they put their votes on Sophie. Maybe?
I know. It's tough because I think that if Savannah wins immunity,
okay,
that's when things can get hairy for Sophie. Because if Sophie doesn't steal that idol, does the other side say, let's just put our votes on Sophie, right? Because Rizzo's going to play it for himself at this point. We are three strong. We are voting that way. If Savannah wins immunity, Rizzo plays it for himself. Do they put the votes on Sophie and then Sophie goes home?
Yeah, because
it'd be 3-2.
Yeah.
With the locker vote.
And their two would probably go to like a Steven.
Yeah, or a Chris. It would be, I would think it would be Steven in that situation. I think at this point they're all probably trying to take Christina to the end.
It's been a matter of like you're shooting at the, well, when they got out Sophie, it was like, all right, this is a target of ours who's the strongest person out here, and she's exposed right now, so we'll get rid of her.
Yeah.
Steven also now he has what, 3 immunities? If he doesn't win, then he'll be the strongest player exposed. They'll get rid of him or they'll aim for him, I think.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking now. He has won 2, it looks like.
Oh, because I thought it was 2-2-2.
Am I looking at the wrong thing here? No, immunity, he's won 2, but he won the this is weird. I know he won a reward in there. Okay.
All right. Nonetheless.
Yeah.
Regardless. You got like him and Savannah are the people like eyes should really be on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I have Sophie number one. That's my number one.
Okay. And this is from Bryce. Phil, I like that he's so polite and proper in these comments. Phil, if Steven has to tell a producer he wants a block of vote for before he goes to jury, can Sophie B still use knowledge of power to take his block of vote? No. Jeff confirmed that in the Dalton Ross interview last week that's not allowed. So he said that if he plays the block of vote and Sophie asks for something, that block of vote gets played as usual. Sophie does not get anything. So it's kind of like a weird wrinkle in the game that I feel like they're trying to test something out.
I think it's so great. And I think that's why he read it saying it has to be played before Tribal. And we know about the knowledge is power has to be played at Tribal. Like, I think it's great.
Mm-hmm. And I think what's really cool about it is like, I understand that some people, it's getting a little convoluted. You got to play it before, you got to play it during, whatever. But Steven had this at 7 and Sophie knew he had an advantage. Sophie could have used her knowledge as power to take that from him at the last tribal council. But because now she's trying to play the numbers at the right time and everything like that, she could now, if she waits one episode and she does try to take Stevens and she gets burned by that, well, she made a choice to not use it at the last episode, to just take whatever was in Stevens' hands.
That's true. That's true. And also there was a big glaring threat that was available to take out in other Sophie. And now Sophie B is the only Sophie on the island.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know. Which, honestly, she was the only Sophie on the island for like five episodes. And then she was the only Sophie on the island again now. So it's, you know, it's come full circle.
Have you seen the Instagram posts and stuff? Like, it's getting spicy. Like, I think her post was like, you can call me Sophie now. And I think Savannah's post was something to the effect of like, there can only be one hot 31-year-old challenge beast on the island.
I mean, I saw when Sophie Segretti called Riz God Riz Cod. I did see that. Yeah, a little Peter Pan reference, I think. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I like it getting spicy like that. You know?
Well, I'm gonna go. So my gut tells me Sophie Bellarity, because Sophie Bellarity is still who I'm giving the best chance to win. But my number one, I'm gonna go Christina. I just feel like at this point, if you're playing Survivor and you're out there and you know that it's 3-on-3 and you know, okay, Steven has an advantage. So maybe that makes you think a little bit of like, maybe we should try to not put it on Steven because he's got the advantage. You're at final six on Survivor. You got to make your move at some point. Like, you have to just make the move. You can't vote people out at final four. So you're talking, you have final six and final five. Final four, you'd have to hope Steven loses fire. You got to just take your shot. And so if you're still playing that, oh, well, let's play it this way because Steven has an advantage and I want to do this and I want to do that. Additionally, I actually think it's really helping Steven right now that Rizzo thinks it's a steal a vote. And yes, I think that's something that's being overshadowed a lot. Rizzo, I love Rizzo's aggressiveness there. And honestly, good on Steven for just being an awkward dude. Because the way he reacted in that moment, I would have thought he was caught red-handed. He was, I mean, really? And he's staring at him and he's got this goofy look on his face. And I'm like, Steven, you're doing a terrible job. But then I'm like, no, he's doing a great job because he doesn't actually have what Rizzo's saying he has. He's just doing a great job of pretending. So I feel like you got to go after the head of the snake here. You have to make your move. And I think that Christina is going to be the safest because right now, even with her story, I think the stuff with her mom is emotional and I think people will feel for her and care about her as a person. There's a lot of third place finishers in Survivor history that people are best friends with and better friends with than first and second place finishers. I'm just saying.
Yeah. There are no eyes on Christina. She's chilling and she's my number two. I think you're right. She's chilling. She's chilling. I had something to say when you were talking about the Riz and Steven thing, and then I lost my mind. It slipped my mind.
See, I talk too much. You said at the beginning, this would be the last thing I say. I don't want to talk too much. And then, you know, you get me going and that's the end of that. Nobody else gets a chance. But talk about Christina a little bit. I feel like Christina overshadowed in the edit. You know, she's taken a beating online. I know I've been kind of hard on her this season too, because there are just certain things. It's more of the Jeff reactions to Christina than Christina herself. I just get tired of like, we saw Sari with the balance beam, right? Like then all of a sudden they're trying to like replicate that with Christina. And Jeff says, I've never seen anything like this before on Survivor. It's like, no, you have. like you made as big of a deal about it. And it like this one actually felt maybe a little bit more necessary, but kind of jaded on everything that, you know, has gone on in the new era. So give me some positivity about Christina.
I love Christina in real life. Met her a lot. Survivor ain't easy. And like, we're seeing a lot of the times where she's going through it. And when you're on Survivor, you are thinking about like your mind goes places. Mm-hmm. And you think about your family or you think about your mother who you've been missing for a couple of years. Like you think about these things and it can break people. And we've seen those emotions of hers. She has a lot of personality. She has fight in her. Last episode when we saw her getting across that water thing and she got underneath of it and she found a way to get up and over it. I was extremely impressed. So she does have fight in her. We haven't seen a winner's edit out of her. So I'm not saying we haven't seen a winner's edit out of her, but she's still in the game. And at this moment, I don't see anyone targeting her.
Yeah. It's tough because there's always one, right? It was Mitch last season. During season 47, it was Sue, really, more than anybody. Sue totally dropped off. During season 46, it was Ben. During season 45, probably Julie, Mama J. She kind of got overshadowed big time by the other people in that season. Season 44, season 44, it was everybody that wasn't in the Tika Free. That whole cast is just like, oh, yeah, by the way, we were here. It's like, oh, too bad. We focus on Carolyn Carson and Jam Jam. And I feel like there's one every season, and it's just such a tough spot to be in. And you know, that's why I it's where I changed when I was podcasting, and this was such a long time ago. And this is why I try to keep it as like just straightforward, just what you're watching on TV. It was Sunday back in season 33 because her edit was terrible. And I remember when we were watching that season, Will and I were like, she can't win. She's not doing anything. And then her and Will. And then that was when we started getting interviews, and Sunday came on our podcast. She was one of the last interviews we did for that season. And I think she still has the record for most times on our podcast. She did like 6 or 7 or 8 episodes because we loved having her on, and she knew the game and she had a strategy. But when you go in a double boot episode like her and Will did, or when you go because of some circumstance, or when you're a third place zero vote finalist like Ben is, who isn't integral to everything that's going on, sometimes you just get passed over. And yeah. And it's a bummer. Or, you know, do you want me to put the Bryce comment up here? Or you want me to just leave it down there? It's up to you. You're over here trying to be positive.
Well, here's the thing. And Bryce texted me and he told me I needed to turn on the chat. So I just turned on the chat and I'm seeing it now. yeah, put the comment up there and let's talk about it.
He says, Christina has made it farther than Wendell on Winners at War. I'm just saying. With a couple emojis too.
She certainly has. She certainly has.
That's it.
Was Bryce on the show?
I'm just saying too, right? She's also competed in more individual immunity challenges than Bryce. I think she's, you know, just saying.
She's competed in more individual immunity challenges than days Bryce has been on the show.
You know how yesterday, I don't know who follows college football. I mean, Miami just got in. There was this stat where Alabama ran for -3 yards yesterday.
Jesus.
So if you didn't play football yesterday, you had more rushing yards than Alabama.
That's crazy.
I'm sorry, Bryce. You know, I'm just saying. Christine. Oh, man. Is that mean? Should I not have said it like that? I don't know. All right. Anyway. All right. Where did we go? Yeah, Bryce, I love you, man.
I did my second one. I said Christina is my number two.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so I got to do my two. I also have Sophie. I still feel like Savannah Rizzo, that's who they're targeting. Even if idols are played, even if advantages are played, I'm just saying, I think that's what's going to happen. And so, you know, could I make an argument here maybe for Sage? Maybe. But I also feel like if Steven wins immunity, they're gunning for Sage. I mean, Sage is the one who's getting targeted, and Steven has been proven to be really good at immunity. So I'm going to go with Sophie B here. I'm going to hope that her, you know, nuclear scenario doesn't happen. And really for me, this episode isn't about, will Sophie B go home? This is the episode that will determine whether or not Sophie B can actually win the show.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I'm with you there. I'm like, I'm so scared that she won't make a move.
I know.
And I keep saying, I'm so scared. And we all know she has it in her.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Should we go to number three?
Yeah, let's do number three.
Now, for number three, I have Riz. And it's like, I think we get our number ones and twos. You and I had the same people just swapped. Mm-hmm. For number three, I have Riz. And my note that I wrote next to it was chilling. He's not chilling anymore. Because like, it's time to play. He's just been... He's been getting it done, and now he has his idol in his pocket. If Sophie B doesn't make this move on him, then he's going to flex the idol again? No, you got to play it, right?
Yeah.
You got to play it, and it all depends on if Savannah wins immunity. And we keep saying Savannah because she's a beast. Riz, yeah. if you're out there, if you're still watching, I want you to win immunity, bro.
Yeah. He can't tie his own shoes, man. He wears Velcro. Like, he can't tie his own shoes. I watch this and I think to myself, if you're Sophie Bellairdi, do you steal Rizzo's idol and vote out Savannah instead of voting out Rizzo? And if Savannah doesn't have immunity, I think you do. I think Savannah's a bigger threat. I think you need to take the idol away from Rizzo, but you need to put the votes onto Savannah. And here's the other thing. If they do, let's say this goes clean, right? This is a clean episode. The group of three of Sage, Christina, Steven, one of them win immunity. They play the block of vote. It's 3-2. Rizzo has his idol, and Sophie Bellairdi decides not to make a move, decides not to do anything. Does that mean that they would put their votes on Rizzo, or would you put your votes on Savannah? You're going to put your votes on Savannah, because if you put your votes on Rizzo, you know he has the idol. And you know that in this type of scenario, you have to play the idol on yourself.
Yes.
Especially if you think it's a steal a vote, because if you think it's a steal a vote, you actually think it's going to be 4-2, which means it's going to be 2-2-2. So you have to play it on yourself. So if Sophie Bellairdi doesn't take this idol, Rizzo's going to play it on himself. Mm-hmm. If Sophie Bellairdi does take the idol, I still think they vote for Savannah, unless Savannah wins immunity. So I think the only way Rizzo goes home in this episode is if Savannah wins immunity. And I think if Savannah wins immunity, Sophie Bellairdi will 100% steal that idol from Rizzo to save herself. I think she probably plays it, and I think Rizzo goes home. So wow. I'm in a weird spot on Rizzo, but I do think Savannah is more likely to be targeted than him.
Okay. All right. So who do you have for three?
So for my three, I am going with, I think, the dark horse to win the season, and I'm going with Steven. And I'm at the point where I think all four of these people have such a chance to go home that I am going to base it around who I think has the best chance to win the show. Mm-hmm. And I think Steven out of these four has the best chance to win the show. I think he has a better chance than Rizzo, a better chance than Savannah, and a better chance than Sage. Now, would I feel that way if he didn't have the block of vote? Absolutely not. If this was just a standard 3-3 going into this episode, I wouldn't feel that way. But he has a 3-2 advantage in like 99% of permutations this week. So why would it not be Steven? So I'm putting Steven at three. If they want to go for him, they have to play the idol correctly and they have to vote him out. Or Sage would have to flip. Christina's not going to flip on him, so it's got to be Sage. And I just don't think it's going to happen.
Got you. Now, what I will say is, man, maybe I'm not the best at power rankings, because – when we talked the whole block of vote thing through and looked at where things would go, that would make me want to switch some things up. But I'm going to leave my list as is as we go through it, okay? But I just want to preface everything by saying that when it comes to the end of this. And somebody in the chat, Chrissy G, says, we have to see which player will have loose lips this episode. And that's absolutely right, because we've been seeing when someone says something, then all of a sudden things happen. And yeah, that's a good comment.
I think that, you know, especially on this season, the nobody has talked about their advantages yet. Nobody's told everybody what their advantages truly are. Knowledge is power is not known. Steven is known to have an advantage, but like you said, he didn't say specifically what it was. So there's less loose lip opportunities, I feel like, on this season. It comes down to the Sophie Bellairdi overshare in this episode. Right, because I don't think Steven's going to tell anybody it's just a block of vote. You have more power if they think it's a steal vote. So why lower your power there? But yeah, the loose lips. I mean, that's a good point. That's a good point. So
Steven's a really good player, man.
Who is?
Steven's a really good player. Mm-hmm. I say this about a few. Like, there are some really good players left in this game. Mm-hmm. And Steven can definitely win this thing.
Yeah. Totally agree with you. Totally agree. I think Steven got overlooked. And I know somebody said he had 17 confessionals last week. Maybe he did, maybe didn't. I didn't feel like it was that overbearing of him, because I felt like it all made sense where it was taking place. It was when he was on his journey, whatever. But what I look at more is early on in the season, people used to joke that the Hina tribe was just the Steven show, because he was the only one we were hearing from that tribe. Well, why were we hearing so much from him? You know? And it's not just necessarily as the last remaining person from his tribe, because Heidi played in season 44 and she got no edit and she was the last one from her tribe and she broke Gabler's record of fire. So it's not just that. It's he's entertaining, but you know, there's still that confessional from the premiere. I think it was the premiere where he says, what if people say all of a sudden, I don't like Stephen. I want to vote Stephen out, you know? And he's going through this whole thing about him, you know, with his hearing aids and he wants to do this and this and this, and he feels like he's got this power position. But what if all of a sudden I get paranoid and people want to vote me out? And that one just resonates with me where I'm like, is that supposed to be his winner quote? Or is that supposed to be his, he eventually gets paranoid and blows up his own game on accident. So I'm curious what that's going to lead to, because they left that in for a reason.
Yeah. We got a couple weeks to see.
We got a couple weeks.
So we've done, how many have we done?
We've done our top three. Yep.
Shall we go to four?
We shall.
I have Sage for number four. I'd say that what you said earlier was if Steven wins, then those votes from that side are going to Sage. But she has Steven in front of her. And I think that there are other people, other threats in front of her on the island, especially in her contingent. So, yeah, I got Sage at four.
Yeah, I'm actually going to put Sage at five. I'm going to put Rizzo at four. I like to close it out and let you go last here. So I'm going to put Rizzo at four. I'm going to put Sage at five. And then I'm going to put Savannah at six. And my thing with Sage is my biggest worry is Sage didn't have any power for so long where she would say, I want this person to go. And then somebody else would go. I want this person to go. And then somebody else would go. And then last week she says, I want it to be Sophie. And it ends up being Sophie. I don't think it was the right move, but she got a little bit of power there. Does any part of her say, maybe I'll go with Christina, or maybe I'll go with Savannah and Rizzo? I don't think so. But if she tries to play too much of the middle wishy-washy kind of game, I could see her getting voted out. I think she'll ultimately go back. I think she's going to go back with Steven and Christina. But I could see this not working out. And I'm just going to bank on Steven winning immunity or something along those lines. And Sage could go home in front of him. I'll put Rizzo at four, because I already kind of explained the Rizzo-Savannah situation. Savannah has to be the number one target. She should have been last week, I think, for a few players. I'm not totally mad that she didn't go, but I think she probably should have gone. And when I look at it this week, I just say, unless she wins immunity, which I'm sure she could, obviously, but unless she wins immunity, how does she get through this episode? It is in everybody's best interest to vote her out of the game unless you think that she is going to be the winner. Or unless you don't think she's a threat. Sorry, I said that backwards. Unless it's like a Joe and Eva where you're thinking, I can beat them, I'm not worried about it. I just don't see that being the story with Savannah. Savannah's staring down Jawan when he's leaving. I don't think that's going to get his jury vote, but who knows? Maybe there's enough time that's passed. Staring down Sophie Segretti at the end, who knows? But I think she also had like a TikTok or an Instagram. I always see these things and I see like the first three lines and then, you know, my ADD kicks in and I'm like, I can't focus on that. I'm going to go to something else. And I never watch the whole thing. And I think though she had something of, what if it's strategy? What if these moments are strategy? And there is something to be said about it. It's you making the fire, right? Staring over at Dom while you're making the fire. There's something to be said about, I know you're going home. I know that I have you right now. Mm. And if she's turning around looking at Sophie when Sophie thinks, oh man, Savannah's out of the game. And then she turns around and goes, oh, you thought you were good. And she's staring her down going, that's how much I'm in the know that I can get cocky after the second vote. It's kind of like Michaela with the T, right? You can see that. And it's the same thing when she's staring down Jawan. So maybe there is something to it of she was that in the know, but I don't know. Whatever it is, if Savannah gets to the end, I can't tell if she's going to win or not. I don't think she does. But I think that truly what her edit is in the game she has played, she's not going to make it to the final tribal council. I just don't. So I'm going to put her at six.
Yeah. 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 This, what I always, yeah, she does those stare downs. She asks those questions. She smiles in your face. Yeah. She's a player, man. And again, like this can make people really mad at you. Mm-hmm. And I saw at some point in the chat, someone said, what are these jurors talking about? The mayor of Ponderosa is Nate. Mm-hmm. And he was her dog. Like they were locked in. Nate was a really good player, and so was Savannah. I was like, this is a scary combo. And he's the mayor of Ponderosa. He's been there the longest. Juwan comes in. Who knows what Juwan is saying? And also, who knows if Savannah like keeps on somehow, some way, finds a way. If Juwan's like, I gotta respect it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who knows? So yeah, we'll see.
Because the last thing I just want to say on that is I think Savannah versus Rizzo at the final tribal would be very interesting because I could see the third person winning because Savannah and Rizzo played such a similar game with such a comeback here. And so that's where like, but if Savannah's sitting there without Rizzo, is she able to say to somebody like Juwan or somebody else around, look at what I did, look at what I knew and I survived when I should have, it was 8-3 or 7-3, whatever it was. I should have gone home and I'm still here, you know. I don't know.
Going for me, like eyes have been on me the whole time. What if it's a Savannah Rizzo Sophie final three? Woo!
I know. Jeez. I know.
Yeah. So okay. The way I end things off, I had Sage at 4. I had Savannah at 5, and I had Steven at 6. And this was, you know, before we did the math about the block and everything like that. And my whole thing was I just continued to think about this strong three and all their artillery and how well they've been playing against this other kind of amorphous, we'll vote together, we'll vote against each other contingent. And I'm like, if they keep on picking off the strongest person on that side, it was Sophie, arguably the strongest exposed person. If Steven was to lose, I was like, homeboy's going home.
Yeah.
When we reconsider the math and everything, it's a new conversation. So yeah, that's, and what I love about this season is that this contingent that we've seen that has been so strong and loaded up, Savannah, Rizgod, and Sophie, now mathematically we should see a crack over there. Wow. So I'm excited to see this episode.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, you put Steven at the bottom, you're still kind of low on Savannah here. So I get it. We've talked about so many different scenarios and everything. Who do you think ends up winning the season?
I would like to, can I give you two?
Yeah, go ahead. I mean,
okay. I'd like it to be Sophie or Steven. Steven is looking good, but Sophie, girl, you got it. Like there is a way, there's a path, make that move. Like do that, you know, you got a path. Yeah, I'd like to see one of those two, and all respect to Rizgod and Savannah. Just the knowledge that they're on 50 just makes me, I like them. I like watching them. I just want to root against them because I know they're on 50.
It's human. It's human nature, right? It's like the Patriots win one Super Bowl. Now you never want them to win again. You know, like they've been terrible forever. I'm talking like 2002 Patriots, 2001 Patriots, whatever. They win one, you're like, oh. And the year before, like the Rams, when they made that crazy run with Kurt Warner, who wasn't even in the NFL for however long. And then they make that crazy run and they win the Super Bowl. Then they play the Patriots the next year. Everybody roots for the Patriots. But then nobody wants the Patriots to win again. It's just human nature. You just want to root against the top dogs. And I feel like the season almost is better. I think the story of the season might be, why don't Savannah or Rizzo win? Now, my question is, if Sophie Bellarity wins, because you mentioned a Sophie, Savannah, Rizzo final three, they make this comeback. If Sophie Bellarity wins, why is she not the one who's on 50? Why are Savannah and Rizzo on 50 instead?
Because it's Survivor and they're not going to put the winner on and they're going to make it us think that the winner's on. And Savannah is the villain that we've been needing for the last 10 seasons. And Rizzo is this young, crazy character that does it all that we've been needing. So yeah. To throw us for a loop and because they're great characters. Now, one more thing, Chrissy said, who do we think will win the next immunity? I think if we did the math, I think if we said, all right, if Steven wins, this is who goes home. And if Savannah wins, this is who goes home. And I think those are our two threats to win immunity this week.
Yeah. And I think if Savannah wins, I think it's probably Rizzo. Cause I think Sophie will steal Rizzo's idol.
Okay.
And I think if Steven wins, it's probably Savannah.
Yeah.
That's what I think. I know you put Steven at the bottom. I think, like, again, I see where you're coming from with that. But I think that's where – I think Savannah or Rizzo probably go here. I put Sage lower just in case Sophie Bellairdi just plays this straight up, which I just would be shocked at this point.
Yeah, and also you have – 1, 2, 3. So if Sophie Bellairdi plays it straight up or doesn't go against her allies – and Steven wins, and Savannah is, you know, she can get voted out, and Rizzo can also. If Rizzo has balls of steel and he plays it on Savannah, but then there's only three over there.
It'd be a 3-2 vote, and then it would be whoever they vote for would still go home because they can't split.
Yeah.
But I still think as long as Rizzo goes into this tribal council thinking it's a steal a vote, which he currently does.
Yes.
There's no way. No way he would give it to Savannah.
Right. He's got it. Right. Mathematically, they could split it. And also, and it's astute that Rizzo thinks that it's a steal of a vote. You got to plan for the worst.
Yeah. And so that's where it gets really interesting, though, is like, let's say Sophie, Rizzo, Savannah, Adam Klein just texted me, you know, just out of the blue. He's over the edge, I think. But Savannah, Rizzo, and Sophie, right? They want to play this straight up. Steven plays the block of vote. So Sophie goes to steal from Steven when knowledge is power and is told nope. Now they don't really have, like, what do they do in that situation then? Because now it's a 3-2. They don't know what his advantage was. They don't know if he played an advantage. They just know that they could not steal it. And then who do Christina, Sage, and Steven vote for? I think that is a very interesting scenario because if they were to vote for the wrong person, that's where Rizzo could maybe pass the idol around because then he's saying, well, it can't be a steal of vote because you play that at tribal council, you know, student of the game shit.
This could be the episode where Rizgod earns his spot on 50.
Yeah. Man, he becomes Rizgod. Troy Zane kept calling him Rizguy. He becomes Rizgod, you know?
Bryce says the whole season he's been Rizgod, and then he started being Rizgod.
Yeah, he's coming out. It's like that dog meme where it's like the dog who's sitting like all like, you know, just like legs splooted out and everything. And then there's the other one where it's like all buff and stuff walking around. That's Rizgod. I love it. Wendell, you got anything else? I know we got the Bryce in One event. I'm going to put the link in here with the code Phil, P-H-I-L. Yes. Make sure you're only putting one L, guys. That's important because my name only has one L. And even though you guys see it all the time, I want you to know it's only one L. So Phil, P-H-I-L, 20% off for any finale in LA or New York. What else is going on?
Well, let me just check and make sure that I spelled it right in the promo code.
Yeah, please do.
But yeah, man, not much is going on with me. Dad life, Wenny is 2.5, getting ready for Christmas. I have to build him a new rock wall. And other than that, we got Boston with Ozzy this week. That's going to be great. Bryson went in Boston. We're bringing our whole team up there. There's a lot of special guests. And then the finales. And then I finally get to breathe a little bit and take it easy and think about what's going to happen for season 50.
I like how you say you get to breathe a little bit and take it easy as you're about to have to do a 2.5-year-old's Christmas. So it's like, you know, you're like, yeah, breathe a little bit and take it easy a week after it's Christmas.
That's my guy though. Like, and he can do no wrong. He's a crazy little man, but love him to death. So
that's great. Well, yeah, we're gonna be doing our regular stuff, guys. Moving on, we got a Wednesday night recap. Forget who Tegwith has tomorrow. I got to get better at writing down Tegwith's guest, everybody, because I am just Tegwith is doing this whole thing for season 50 in the off season where she has just nonstop and texting me like, hey, I just got this person. I just got this person. It's really great. I'm excited for it. But it now has made me lose track of who her guest is. So stay tuned. You're going to see their face smiling on a thumbnail. Wednesday recap, Thursday digging deeper. We got all that. Patreon.com/the specialist. We are going through fans versus favorites 2 right now. So that's what we got going on over there. Otherwise, like the video, subscribe to the channel, and we'll see you on Wednesday.
Thanks so much.